Hi, everyone. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 3 of Keeping a Notebook, a podcast on writing. I'm Nina LaCour. There are certain conditions under which I like to write. Free afternoons are one, when my wife is picking up our daughter so I don't have to worry about making it to school on time. And the afternoon feels like a sprawling thing, full of possibility. Just me in my tiny garden writing studio, a song playing on repeat, my phone set to do not disturb. And I also love cafe writing, especially at my local coffee spot where there is always ample table space and a comfortable chair, and I can spread out with my notebooks and computer and slowly drink a cappuccino as I work. I like rainy days for writing. I like a candle burning. I like to have a minimum of 2 hours, 3 or 4 are better. And I like to be either in the very beginnings of novels or at the very ends of them. Revision is best. But a couple weekends ago, I found myself in the middle of an outdoor shopping mall in Los Angeles, pulling out my computer amidst a bunch of strangers with only my lap as a desk, working not on the beginning or the end of a novel, but on the middle of it. On the kind of scene that would go much better with a sad song playing and a glass of wine and the twinkle of string lights outside my studio window. All around me, shoppers chatted and strolled by. I didn't have much time. The group I was there with would be back soon with their new possessions, and I had to get my character from the motel room she was in back into the car that would take her over the mountains. The incredible thing, I realized as I worked, was that once you're lost in a scene, it really doesn't matter where you are or how long you have. What matters is that the words are coming. You're getting closer. I've been thinking lately about the ways I can improve the way that I work. How I can challenge what I think I need, 2 or 3 hours, an ideal place, and embrace what I have instead. I'm also thinking about how I can design my days to get the most out of them. To build in time for writing and time for other tasks and responsibilities so that they don't get all tangled up in my mind. This way of thinking about my work, identifying my goals and my stumbling blocks and their solutions, has been invigorating and inspiring. It even led to a breakthrough in a project I've been working on for 15 years. Sometimes I thought I'd never get the pieces to fit together, and now suddenly they have. So today, I want to encourage you to lean into experimentation in your work. Not necessarily in your current project, but in your process. Identify one thing that holds you back or that makes getting started difficult. How can you change a behavior or mindset or alter your environment or routine to alleviate it? My problems usually hinge around getting started, and I'm trying out a few new things right now. Whenever possible, I'm writing during the time of day when I feel most awake and energized. And I'm realizing that the location doesn't matter as much as my energy matters, and that while it's fine to wish for uninterrupted hours and an ideal setting, it feels good to be adaptable. I crave order and routine, but life is often messy and unpredictable. And if I want to see this project through, I need to embrace the mess and do my work alongside it. On a whim, as I began conceptualizing this episode, I sent a note to my newsletter list inviting my readers to join me in this act of questioning and experimentation. And I got so many responses that I'm about to share, from people telling me about what they're doing already and what they intend to do. Laura in Philadelphia has a struggle that most of us can relate to. She says, "The internet keeps me from my writing. I think that I will just pop in for a quick look and then I lose precious writing time. But once I get off the internet, an approach that helps keep me in my seat and writing is that I set a timer for 25 minutes. During that time, I do not check my phone. I do not get up for more coffee or to use the restroom. I only work on my manuscript. When the timer goes off, I give myself up to 5 minutes to do those distracting things, and then I set the timer again. What I found is that those distracting things seem less important when I don't give in to the temptation. And generally, the temptation to check my phone or get up for any reason is related to me having a question about the scene I'm writing. By staying put, I allow my mind to focus on the problem and find the solution. Others are turning to technology to help them, like Natasha in San Diego, California, who writes, "I started using the Forest app to block social media. It's great since I not only get what I need done, I can grow a forest to see the progress I'm making with time management." And Rachel from Berkeley says, "I can get so consumed by doubt, so I need to trick myself into getting the words done on the page." A few years ago, I discovered this site founded by two Berkeley parents who were inspired by the Artist Ways morning pages. It's called 750words.com, and this is what gets me to write every day, in the early morning before the rest of my family is up. I need to remember to leave my self-doubt here and get the words down. Sophia, writing from Greece, wrote to me, "I would like to believe in myself more and to believe that I can make it." So many of us have to work hard in order to believe this. We have trouble trusting ourselves and our abilities, but there are ways to gain the confidence we need. Wendy in Austin is going to remember that it's okay to not have all the answers right now, as long as she remembers how to find them and gives herself a deadline to do exactly that. Whitley from Asheville, North Carolina wrote, "I think my biggest challenge is letting a draft be bad. I want to get the story on the screen or page, but then anxiety brain kicks in, making me terrified to finish it. I need to give myself permission to let it be bad." And then there's Dre from Brooklyn who writes, "I'm giving myself time to get to know my characters without feeling pressured to understand them." Addie in Houston says, "One thing that holds me back, especially when starting, is the feeling I need to know all of the subplots and secondary and tertiary characters before I write a single word. I'm trying to change this by writing mini scenes of the things I do know." And I love how Cassie from Portsmouth tackles uncomfortable feelings. "I find that fear is usually my biggest inhibitor of happy, productive writing time. So when I first sit down at my desk, I write myself a letter. I write, 'Dear self, today you are feeling,' insert negative emotion here, oftentimes fear. And that's perfectly understandable to feel that way. However, you don't need to stay in that fear because, insert game plan attack for combating fear, most often just showing up to the page with openness. Then I've cleared myself for writing." Angie from Albany writes, "I will bring a mindset of trust to my work, a steady belief that no matter how slow and impossible the process seems, if I keep showing up and working, eventually these scenes and characters will fit together in a way that makes a story." Accountability emerged as a theme too, whether to ourselves through systems we create or to commitments we make and share with others. Rebecca from Vancouver, British Columbia says, "I used to set word count goals in my planner, but I would rarely, if ever, achieve them. Lately, I've been writing down my actual achievements instead, like wrote 1,000 words or revised 5 pages or nothing if I don't do anything. The fear of admitting to myself that I did nothing is enough to make me write at least something, and often a lot more than I would have otherwise." Judy in Portland, Oregon writes, "I am scheduling my writing time on my calendar. I treat it as if it is the most important meeting in the world. Seeing it on our family calendar makes it official and notifies my spouse of my intention. She helps me stay accountable." Jackie from Oak Ridge, Tennessee says, "My writing friend and I have started scheduling 5 a.m. writing sprints this summer to keep us moving forward with our stories amid the delightful demands of our children." And speaking of domestic demands, plenty of you are finding ways to navigate those challenges, including this one.
"Hi, this is Nicole from Minneapolis, and one thing that stops me from engaging in my writing is my perfectionism. So I've decided to consciously sacrifice an area of my life that isn't ever going to even be close to perfect. Dinner. It's going to be repetitive, it's going to be thrown together at the last minute, and no one is ever going to ask me for a recipe. And I'm going to be okay with that because it will give me more guilt-free time to do this thing that I love. Right.
Gwen from Volo, Illinois, echoed this statement, saying, "I will no longer require my entire house to be clean before I allow myself to open my laptop. Creativity before filth equals a happier me." Gwen, I hear you on that one. A few people wrote in about lifestyle changes and integrating rituals into their days. Taylor from Brooklyn says, "I know I work best in the mornings before work. So to do that, I want to be more intentional about setting myself up for success the night before, tidying my writing space, and going to bed at a reasonable time so I don't wake up late or with a mountain of chores and distractions standing between me and a quiet, unhurried morning to work." Natalie in Denver, Colorado says, "I usually get on my laptop to write while I'm in bed, which puts me in the wrong mindset for writing. Hopefully finding a new place to write will make me more productive." And Isabel from Luxembourg is turning to rituals to get started. Hers involves a morning meditation followed by half a liter of Japanese green tea that she drinks during the writing session. She likes the combined effect of meditation and tea on her writing brain. A couple of you shared efforts to bring more joy into your work, like Trisha in Windsor, Colorado, who explains, "I've spent a lot of time learning how to craft a story, and in so doing, I've lost sight of the joy and beauty in language, and I'd like to give myself permission to luxuriate in lush, sprawling prose again by sitting down to edit single scenes at the sentence level." Mayela from Mexico City writes, "One of the things holding me back from my work is a useless fear of failure. And if you don't try, you don't fail, right? Which is a silly way to go through life and writing. So the way I'm changing it is focusing on myself and what I enjoy about writing. Switching the goal from writing something good enough to be published to writing what I enjoy writing." And Cecilia sent me this. "Just hearing about it makes me so happy that I will probably try it out for myself."
One thing holding me back is the way I make myself stick to rigid writing routines and habits, even when I can feel that they're not working for me. Something I'm trying to do is to reframe my idea of what my writing time should be so that I can connect to a greater sense of playfulness and joy in my creativity. So a couple of days ago, I got a big A3 sketchbook and some colorful pens, and I set myself the task of drawing different settings and objects from my story. And at first I was really resistant to this. I kept grumbling about my horrible boxy houses and my swimming pool that looked like a giant blue kidney bean. But then I started to tap into this sense of childlike playfulness. And I surprised myself when I grabbed a pen and began writing in the margins of these truly terrible drawings. I found myself getting to know my characters and sinking into their world in a way that I hadn't been able to when I was holding myself to this much stricter idea of how to write a novel.
Kristen in Warwick, Rhode Island, says, "I'm just about finished with the first draft of my latest novel, and I plan to change the way I revise my work. Instead of getting overwhelmed by the big picture, I'm going to stay focused on one aspect of revision at a time." I love how Isabel approaches her work with a very modest goal and an openness and curiosity.
Something I've always struggled with in my writing is actually sitting down to write and coming up with a solid routine for it. So two things that I've tried recently, I'm still working on it, but it's a good experiment so far, is one, setting the bar at 2 words. So every time I sit down to write, just trying to do 2 words. I actually got this idea from Kelly Link, and I think that's been working pretty well. The second thing is to be flexible and open to experimentation about when I sit down to write. So trying sometimes in the morning, trying sometimes in the afternoon, just to see what works best, and just reminding myself it's an experiment and I can change it at any time.
And finally, Amy from Jacksonville, Florida writes, "When I'm having trouble getting in the mindset of actually writing new material, I'll try to acknowledge that I don't have to be actively writing the whole time. That plotting, outlining, world building, and reviewing what I've already written are all important parts of the process." Thank you so much to everyone who shared your struggles and ideas. They resonated and inspired me more than I can say. I have this vision of all of us, everyone who has a project that means something to them, writers or not, deciding to shake things up together, to change our routines and our beliefs in service to this thing that we want to do or make. And I want to hear from you too. I have a post on my Instagram about this, inviting you to join in with a new approach or experiment of your own. Or you can hashtag keeping a notebook on your platform of choice, or drop me an email at keepinganotebook@ninalacour.com. I'd love to cheer you on. Keeping a Notebook is produced by Sonix Podcasts. My brother, Jules Lacour, made the music. Thanks to my wife, Kristen Strobel, for the artwork and my friend, Lindsay Moore, for the design. If you're enjoying the podcast, I'd be so appreciative if you'd share it with a friend or leave it a rating and review. I'll be back in 2 weeks.